Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome to another episode of the Diesel Punk Podcast, and I am your host, John Pica, the artist also known as the comic book loving, time traveling, prophet of pop culture, the voice of Diesel Punk, the artist also known as the bamboozlist, Big Daddy Cool, but you can call me Johnny. And tonight, in the studios at the Houdini Room at the Casa de Cool, we've got two, count them two, brand new co-hosts who are joining me live on video on Facebook and here on the audio version on iTunes, Stitcher, and what's that other fangled Spotify? Oh. Spotify, that's right. So please welcome Dark Soul. Dark Soul, say hello.
Hello, my people.
and Corey Hillsheim.
Close. We'll go with that.
Golly, I'm going to butcher this a lot.
Everyone does.
Hillsheim?
Hillsheim.
It's Frau Brucker. Yeah.
Listen.
I like the German part of Diesel Punk, I should say.
Listen, we went over this before the show. He told me how to pronounce it. I practiced pronouncing it.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
Because in my mind I said, it sounds like Hillsong. Hillsheim. Anyway, I still butchered it. That's all right. You know what?
My wife's been butchering it for 19 years. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. She still refuses to say it half the time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Do you take... Never mind.
That's fine. So while we're recording, Robert and Corey, or Dark Soul and Corey... Oops, sorry, I almost blew your cover.
Oh, no!
Are going to be watching comments on Facebook, and we'll be commenting along the way as we go. Now, before we dig into our topics tonight, we want to thank our sponsor who is returning, Magic Subscription Box. They are a magic shop in your mailbox. They deliver magic to your mailbox every month for around $30, but you can take 50% off your first month if you use my promo code BDCMagic at magicsubscriptionbox.com.
They'll teach you how to make your boss disappear.
Listen, for $25,000, I can teach you how to make anyone disappear. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. All right, so check them out, magicsubscriptionbox.com. All right, so guys, we got some cool stuff to talk about. And I was so happy when I was starting to dig into the topics tonight that this is the 25th year anniversary of what I consider one of the greatest movies ever made. And Robert forgot to turn his sound off on the video, so now we're hearing us in repeat. But the 25th year anniversary of one of the greatest movies I believe ever made.
Oh, yeah.
Shawshank Redemption.
100% agree on that one.
Well, yeah?
It's the best movie I've ever seen with a spoon.
I'm not sure. Oh, wait, because he digs with a spoon. Oh, my God.
A little slow today.
Yeah, but you looked at me like, what is he talking about?
Like, I kind of knew, but then it took me just a second, though. But a little bit faster than you.
Yeah, I guess. I'm going to move this just a tad closer to you.
Okay.
Because Robert and I are a little bit louder than you are.
You are.
Dark Soul and I.
Dark Soul.
Yeah, the Black Soul, the pirate, the steampunk aficionado.
Daniel, welcome from Canada.
Hey,
Canada.
Daniel, how you doing?
How's the meese? I mean, mooses.
And I agree with Eric Fisk. If you can, I'll $25,000 to make my in-laws disappear.
I like my mother-in-law, actually.
We can talk later. All right. So, yeah, 25th year anniversary of The Shawshank Redemption. And, you know, this is a movie that I did not see in the theater.
No.
There was nothing about the trailer that appealed to me as 25 years ago. I mean, I was in college. And but then when I saw it on maybe cable or video, it was hypnotic.
Instant love.
Yeah.
Instant love.
And it is one of those movies that if I'm flipping through a channel and it's on, I have to watch it.
Oh, yeah. It could be 1 a.m. and I have to be up at 3 a.m. I'm going to sit there and watch that movie instead of sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a fan of Shawshank?
It's okay. I like life better.
I can't take you anywhere. You're going to be trouble. I can tell. He's going to be the contrarian in the
group. Jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang.
But a lot of people might be asking, well, Johnny, why are you guys talking about Shawshank Redemption on the Diesel Punk podcast? Is it Diesel Punk? What do you guys think?
No.
And why do you think it's not?
It is Diesel reality, Diesel period,
yep,
as you called it. If Andy Dufresne had decided to blast his way out of Shawshank with a laser gun and be picked up by aliens, then we'd go with Diesel Punk.
Okay.
But this is more reality. You could see it actually happening from 19...
It starts in the 40s and 40s, it ends into like 60s. In the 60s. Yeah,
you could see it actually happening, and it's more period correct.
Yeah, and it is, and it doesn't... It does have that element of punk that anytime you have someone who is fighting against the status quo, you know, resisting the culture of the day, that is punk. And definitely Andy Dufresne is that character.
Yeah.
He's fighting to resolve the status quo or create a new status quo, fighting against the machine and against the man.
Yep.
I personally think Cool Hand Luke was more of Diesel Punk than Shawshank Redemption.
Well, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that.
Because there was more of a fantastical aspect to Cool Hand Luke, whereas there wasn't the Shawshank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you consider, you know, kind of a fantasy or fantastical element of Cool Hand Luke?
I'm a shaking it, boss. There's no way that the guards would have let him disappear like that in that period of time.
So you're saying there are more elements in Cool Hand Luke that makes it like alternative history. You know, it turns it on its side.
Yes.
Very much in the same way probably that one of our founders, Larry Amyet, describes Kelly's Heroes.
Yes.
And he considers that a Diesel Punk classic, even though there's no science fiction or fantasy, there is alt history that, you know, takes it from being period and just turns it on its
Love
side.
Donald Sutherland in that.
Yeah. Great movie.
If there's anything I don't like Donald Sutherland in. I think he's an amazing actor anyway.
Yeah. I can't think of anything I've seen him in that I didn't like him in. But so Shawshank Redemption, 25 years, and tomorrow night and Wednesday night, Fathom Events is showing it on the big screen once again.
Oh, wow.
If you're in the Middle Tennessee area, it's at Opry Mills and at Green Hills. I'm going to be going with my son to see it tomorrow night. So if anyone wants to join us to see Shawshank Redemption on the big screen, which I've never seen on the big screen.
Yeah, always been TV.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that. You know, Fathom Events has been a phenomenal company for that. That's how I saw Casablanca for the first time.
Really?
I didn't see Casablanca until 7-8 years ago. It was after we started doing this podcast, Fathom Events had it on the big screen, and it was, I think, the 75th year anniversary, maybe the 80th year, I forget.
Wow.
And I went and saw it, and all of a sudden I understood why everyone loves Casablanca. I would consider it the best movie ever made.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but Bill Murray did one set during that time period that was along those same kind of lines where he's in the Orient. He travels through the Orient.
Bill Murray did?
Bill Murray?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the movie, but he actually did one. He dies at the end of it, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Huh.
But it was during the 90s, 80s or 90s when it came out.
Hey, my brother is watching.
Yeah, he did comment a minute ago.
Did he really?
Yes.
How you doing, my brother? Good to see you, man.
Was it one of his earlier movies, you think?
Bill Murray.
I think.
It's
a very serious movie.
In an Art Deco period piece.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
We'll look that up. So, Shawshank Redemption. Love it. I'm going to go see it again tomorrow night. First time on the big screen. And any other thoughts about Shawshank Redemption?
Not really.
You're not a huge fan.
No.
It's okay for you.
It's okay. I mean, when I watch something along those lines, something I would rather watch would be like Cool Hand Luke, the original Papillon.
Okay.
I can see that.
Not the remake. The remake was trash.
All remakes are.
Well, not all remakes. I've seen a few that were halfway decent. But the original Papillon was excellent.
Okay. Yeah.
Things along those lines. I'm just, for some reason, Shawshank didn't do anything for me. The Green Mile was excellent. I love the Green Mile.
Yeah.
That filmed right that here would in Nashville. Have, that yeah. would have been Diesel Punk because it had a fantastical.
What year edge. Was it set in?
30s and 40s.
Was it?
Yes.
I'd say, yeah, late 20s, early 30s, just by the okay. vehicles I had in it.
So, you know what? I need to go back and watch that movie because I've not seen it since it came out and saw it on VHS at my parents' house. So, and that was a time in my life where if my dad said, man, you got to see this movie, it's really awesome, I, like, ran the other way.
I gotcha.
You know? So I'll go, that's my assignment, is to watch The Green Mile.
First movie I ever saw with my father in a theater that was rated R was The Lords of Discipline.
I've never heard of that
never,
movie.
Never, yeah.
Oh, it's based off of...
Had to look that one up.
Military School. West really? Point Military School, yes.
Wow. We're learning all kinds of stuff from Dark Soul here tonight. Yeah. Now, I was really excited about our next story because I am a huge, huge fan of Miss Fisher's murder mystery. Any of you who have been listening to the podcast for any length of time, you know how much I've raved about this show. And 2 years ago, the rumor came out when the series ended on PBS that they were going to be making a movie. Well, it was not just a rumor. The movie is coming out in February 2020 with the original cast, and it's called Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears.
The Razor's Edge.
The Razor's Edge with Bill Murray. All right, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll look that one up.
Yeah. So Miss Fisher's murder mystery, Miss Fisher and the Crypt of Tears, is finally coming, and I am super, super, super excited. Now, Dark Soul, you were asking, we were talking before the show, you know, about whether or not we agreed that that qualifies as Diesel Punk.
I have to say it is not.
And why would you say that?
Because there's no, it's set in realism, there's really no fantastical element to it, there's no real tech to it. To me, it could have happened as it is written.
Interesting. Now, Corey, you've only watched, what, one episode of it?
One, so you're about not... one and a half, I'd say. Okay. Yeah.
Well,
not a big murder mystery guy, but I love the setting, the costumes, or the outfits, the cars.
Yeah.
That's what intrigued me about it, was just the setting of it.
So if you've not seen Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, you can watch it on Netflix. It is set in Prohibition era, but set in Australia. So you've got the Prohibition culture and lifestyle, the music, the jazz, the clothing, because Australia's fashion and music history mirrored the U.S. very closely, as did Japan, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that. But you have all of that decadence, but none of the stigmas associated with Prohibition. So you don't have, you know, the gangsters, you don't have the illegal alcohol, because they didn't have Prohibition there. So it kind of puts you in that world, but from a different perspective. And I have always maintained that it qualifies as punk because Miss Fisher herself is a true Mary Jane in every sense of the word, because in every episode, she does something different and is an expert at it. She flies a plane. She races motorcycles. She does burlesque. She sings. I mean, every episode, she is an expert in, and she's well-traveled. But more importantly than that, she is a woman in a man's world doing a job that historically, traditionally, no woman would have done.
Not quite true. I mean, there was women. There was women that were manly during that time period. That was actually real. I mean, there were ranchers. There was adventurers. There was women that went to war, even though they may have hid their hair. The pirates. There were women pirates that masqueraded as men. So no, it's not that the fact that they could not have done it. I think that the fact is there's no fantastical, there's no tech to it. So I feel that it is not punk, it is period.
So I think that, and that's a reasonable position to have. I think the movie might change your mind because from what I've seen from the trailers, it's going to delve into the mystical and the paranormal. And if it does that,
then it changes.
Then yeah. It changes for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, now talking about it and hearing y'all's opinions, I'm inspired to go watch it this yeah. week and see, you know, see which one I might agree with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I loved it, and I thought it was a fantastic series, and I can't wait for the movie to come out. But I'm curious to see what you guys think. Is it Diesel Punk or Diesel Period? And what makes it, we haven't even defined this with you guys. I forget to do this every week. What is Diesel Punk exactly? Well, you know, here on the Diesel Punk podcast, our definition has been, you know, been adopted by Nick Oddins and Mr. Piecraft and much of the community now over the last 8 years. We define Diesel Punk as having three tenets. One, it has to have the style and aesthetics of the era. It doesn't matter when it's set, what year it's set, as long as it has the style and the aesthetics, the appearance, and feeling the zeitgeist of the 1920s through the mid-1950s, 1957.
So we're not counting anything in World War One?
No, we are. We are.
That would be before the 1920s.
No, I understand that. But I'm talking about yeah. in general, the kind of the... what people understand. We look at the timeline.
So you'd be more 1900 up.
1917 is usually yeah. where people...
I usually say about yeah. the beginning of World War One
through Sputnik.
Sputnik.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah. So it has the aesthetics of that era. And it's a relatively short era in American history, in world history. Whereas like the steampunk era is 100 years
yeah.
before Diesel, the 100 years before the turn of the century. So it's got to have that style and aesthetic. It's got to have some kind of fantasy or science fiction or alternate tech, alternate history, or, you know, magic, paranormal, something like that that takes it from being historical and turns it on its side. So a good example of that is like the movie Inglourious Basterds, where yes. they actually kill Hitler... in the movie. That didn't happen, but it's alternate history now, and that makes it punk.
The man who killed Hitler and Bigfoot.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. Which I almost grabbed to be a coaster. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not saying that it should be a coaster, but it was not the movie it was advertised to be. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you agree with me?
It wasn't, but it was hilarious.
Yeah. It was. Did you see it?
Yes.
Okay, so it was advertised as like this great action-adventure movie with Sam Elliott, and it was really more of a slice of life and a man coming to terms with his end. Yeah. yeah. Very different movie than what it was advertised. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. But it was a good movie. Sam Elliott gave a fantastic performance. Larry Miller gave a great performance. I'm not sure... you know, where the visual designers got their concept of Bigfoot. But hey, he was supposed to be a diseased Bigfoot, right?
Yeah, yeah, so. Well, I've actually done a Bigfoot cosplay, so.
Really?
Yeah.
I would never imagine you
doing that. I've got it at home.
I don't think you had to put on very much, did you?
Actually, I had on quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, including stacked shoes.
Really?
Yep, nice. I did it for a haunted trail last year.
Wow, that's horrifying. So anyway, so visual aesthetics, sci-fi fantasy, alternate history, and then the third part is the punk that we talked about, where it's a push against the contemporary culture, a push against the status quo. It's countercultural. And sometimes that's, you know, rebels fighting the tyrannical, totalitarian regime. Sometimes it's as subtle as... wearing a suit and tie out to the ballpark when everybody else is wearing t-shirts, cargo shorts, and flip-flops. It's rejecting the common culture. So that's how we define Diesel Punk here. So from that definition...
Steve Martin did it.
Steve Martin did, yeah.
He wore a suit and everything to the ball game.
Oh, yeah. Listen, those guys.
My Blue Heaven.
My Blue Heaven.
Yeah. Great movie. I love that movie. Rick Moranis is in that, yes. Right? Yeah. Yeah, he was great in that movie. What are we laughing about, gentlemen?
I have no idea.
Yeah, this okay. You're just giggling like a bunch of little girls. All right. Mm. So, based on those definitions out there, you guys, is Miss Fisher diesel punk, diesel period? Let us know. Now, something that is definitely, without question, diesel punk is The Rocketeer.
Yes.
Disney Plus is putting their stamp on The Rocketeer in an animation form.
Yes.
And they're making her female.
Yes.
So now what they're doing is they're pulling in the normal kids, are pulling in the female kids, and putting it on Disney Plus basically is taking and making the kids go, Mommy and Daddy, I want that streaming service. It's a money grab.
Yep.
Listen, $12.99 for Disney Plus and Hulu and ESPN Plus as a bundle is a bargain. And if you've seen the amount of content that they are releasing on day one, it is immense.
First it.
The new Rocketeer, I'm excited about. I have 5 kids, 4 sons. We finally got a daughter, so I'm happy that she can possibly, if hopefully,
you sure
it's a good
your
show.
TV wouldn't broke?
Yeah, we finally put a TV in the bedroom. But I'm happy she can finally have a role model.
Yeah.
That's not a Kardashian. You know, there's plenty of role models out there. All the women in Firefly Serenity are great role models.
I like Killjoys better.
Killjoys is a great show. But I think The Rocketeer is a good diesel punk role model for her. I think we're going to enjoy it. I hope she loves it. She's only 11 months, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited about it because I am a huge Rocketeer fan. Mm-hmm. I've got a whole collection of Rocketeer memorabilia, and I've got some friends that, you know, whenever they're out in at a comic convention or an antique shop, and they find Rocketeer stuff, they always bring it home to me. I've got an entire set of the Rocketeer trading cards from Topps.
Wow.
Yeah. And I love the Rocketeer. It is a quintessential diesel punk movie, quintessential diesel punk comic book series by Dave Stevens. It is like the definition of diesel punk. If you were to ask me what is diesel punk, I might hand you a copy of the Rocketeer movie. Either that or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. So we had been hearing rumors about a sequel to The Rocketeer, and it's still in development with a character inspired by Bessie Smith, the female pilot, African-American woman pilot, taking over the mantle of The Rocketeer after World War II. That's in development, but the animated series has come first. And, you know, I think it's fantastic to give little girls a role model. Something fun, because she's adventurous.
Yeah.
You know, she's not just, you know, looking around in her backpack for map.
No. She's gonna
Can you say tree? Can you say rock?
Exactly.
Can you say abuela?
Ladies and gentlemen, send all hate mail to darksoul@dieselpunkpodcast.com. No, but now you have a daughter.
Yes, I do.
How old is she?
She is 11.
11. So she might be a little bit past this
She was raised on Handy Manny and Dora.
Yeah.
And but she has been going, she's been in the con and sci-fi scene, well, since she was 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I mean, she has went to nearly. She's went to more cons, probably than I did. But she started belly dancing at 3. She does martial arts.
That's awesome.
She's an equestrian, and she loves the cosplay.
Yeah, yeah. She's a kick-ass little girl, and so you think she'll
be hip to this, or is it a little bit? Is she a little bit age-wise beyond the?
She may watch it a little bit, yeah. But she's more into. She's been watching with my wife. She's been rewatching all of the, was it Laura Mars or?
I don't know.
The female detective that.
Veronica Mars.
Veronica Mars.
Oh, yeah,
she's been watching all the Veronica Marses.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
But my daughter reads at. She's 11 years old and reads at a sophomore in college level. So.
Yeah, that does not surprise me one bit. Well, I'm excited for it. I think it's
James
gonna be,
has a question
yes,
here.
Yes, what is James asking?
My Based brother. On your definition, would the Wild West, would Wild Wild West with Will Smith, well, actually, the Wild Wild West before Will Smith, yes. qualify as diesel punk, or is it more steampunk?
It's steampunk.
Steampunk.
It's 100%. More. It's more steampunk, and the original series even more so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is held up as the quintessential. Steampunk
movie.
Show. Yeah. And I think from a movie perspective, it is the quintessential steampunk. Now, I know a lot of people would like for it to be a better movie, but I kind of enjoy it.
It's a guilty pleasure movie.
Another series that was along those same lines was Briscoe County Jr.
Oh, I love Briscoe County. I've got the entire series on Blu-ray. Yeah. I saw it at Walmart, the entire series on Blu-ray. For $12.99. Briscoe County Jr. is on Blu-ray for $12.99,
You have to buy it. It's a law. State law.
Yeah.
Federal, maybe.
Yeah, and the actor, I can never remember his name, that he played Bowler on that. He was also Shownuff in Last Dragon. You remember that?
Yeah.
Man, what a great character actor that guy is. He stole the show for me. So James, that answers your question, I think. Another steampunk movie would be.
And now I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah.
Could name probably 100 of them a minute ago, but.
Well, no, you were, that's kind of the point.
In
Hollywood, steampunk has not caught on as an aesthetic or style like diesel punk has.
Yeah.
They don't call it diesel punk in Hollywood. But we see the style.
They call it alternative history.
They do, or they just say, oh, it's a period. You know, Wonder Woman was set in World War I. It's diesel punk.
Yes.
Captain America, the
Captain
first
America. You've got recently Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Set in this era. It's got the aesthetics. It's got the fantasy. And it's definitely got, you know, the rebellious... countercultural slant to it. But, you know, steampunk, it just hasn't caught on as a film genre the way it has as a cosplay and literary genre. You do, you know, a search for steampunk, you're going to find a lot of material.
You want to really laugh. I know of one that y'all wouldn't even think of that is steampunk that came out in the 50s.
Okay, what is it?
The Crimson Pirate.
I've never seen that.
Never seen that.
With Burt Lancaster.
I'll have to see that. I
have to look.
It
a
is
bunch
my
of
favorite pirate movie, but there's a part in it where they use a submarine.
Really?
Yes.
Well, okay. So, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, the original Captain Nemo, that would qualify. Some people
League of Ordinary
or Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
So that one.
That
kind
one,
of bridges the gap.
That's both.
That's balancing on the edge right there.
As is Mortal Engines.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Mortal Engines wasn't that good, though.
It followed the book quite well. I enjoyed it.
Because it was a retro-futuristic Star Wars.
Post-apocalyptic, which I love.
Yeah.
And I've read all the books, and the movie, for the most part, Hollywood changed it. But for the most part, it followed the books. I mean, they Hollywood, I can't talk.
Hollywoodized it?
Hollywoodized it, yeah. Yeah, but I still enjoy it. I'll flick it on during the day when the kids are taking a nap to watch it. I liked it. My flight to Asia, I watched it twice on the way there and the way back just because it was free.
The character I liked was Fang.
Yes.
Yeah, she was awesome. I wanted to see more of her, but...
Yes.
And you know what? Anytime Hugo Weaving is in a movie, he makes it better.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. He's kind of like Stanley Tucci.
Yes. So oh, yes.
Any movie that Stanley Tucci is in is automatically watchable just for him.
First movie I ever saw, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Hugo Weaving.
What would you term Harlem Nights as?
So that is definitely set in the Diesel era. Mm-hmm. It's got the Art Deco aesthetics, the Deco Dents.
It's got fantastical. The way you describe it with the things happening that really shouldn't have happened.
Okay, yeah, the alternate history. Yes. In what regards? Other aside, understanding there's a difference between fictional history or historical fiction and alternate history.
The African Americans doing the upper crust thing.
Okay.
So that would be, according to your definition, diesel pump.
I can dig that. Yeah. Because that is actually one of my favorite movies of the era. Stellar cast, Richard Pryor's last movie, and yes. it was also Red Fox's last movie, and it may have been Della Reese's last movie. No, Della Reese went on to be in Touched by an Angel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I think it was her last Hollywood film. I could be wrong about that. But, I mean, some great performers, some great talent, doing great performances. Mm-hmm. The style, the sets, the music. Jasmine Guy gave a performance of a lifetime. It was just a great movie.
My favorite still has to be Doc Savage, though.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
No.
I love Doc
Savage. You do not
Savage
love that Matt. Movie.
Yes, I do.
There's no way you like that movie.
I've always loved that movie. Doc Savage and the Man of Bronze.
Do you know
Ron Eli?
All right, so this is not on our topics tonight, but since you mentioned Doc Savage, do you know that that movie is responsible for Indiana Jones?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, so here's the story. Lucas and Spielberg were doing a Doc Savage movie, and that's what they pitched. That's what they wrote the script to be.
But they couldn't find somebody to fit the part?
No, they couldn't find a studio to invest in it because the way that original movie tanked.
Yeah, it tanked so hard. I don't feel like it tanked.
Well, but it did. It was a huge...
It's a cult classic now.
Now, but then...
Yeah, but the box office at the time, it didn't do what it needed to do.
Yeah, it failed. And so Spielberg and Lucas had to redesign their concept, and Doc Savage became Indiana Jones. And you can see some of the original concept art. You had a Nazi with a robot arm, like a hydraulic robot arm, and it's some pretty cool stuff, cool history behind there. But if that Doc Savage movie had never happened, we wouldn't have gotten Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is considered, by the way, the first official diesel punk movie.
Doc Savage was before that, though.
Well, I understand that.
And it was definitely diesel punk.
I'm sure it was. I love the character of Doc Savage. I love the concept of Doc Savage. And some of the recent comic series have been really good. I think that a lot of people who have tried to adopt Doc Savage into graphic form or visual form have not quite gotten it.
They haven't got the right character yet, the person to play the part yet.
Well,
it's going to take a specific look.
Well, The Rock is on tap to do a new
The
movie.
Rock has been on tap to do every thing in the world.
Yeah. Oh, hey, watch the language.
Okay.
We'll have to edit that out. We got to put an explicit warning on the iTunes feed.
Pirate.
That's all right. I didn't brief him on that. That's my fault. But I mean, he's in development to do. I think he would be a great Doc Savage.
Yeah, as long as. I see Doc Savage in a different way.
Okay.
I see the massive, basically a massive shaved head Viking.
Well, that's The Rock.
No, he's Samoan.
I know, but okay.
he's
bronze.
Yeah.
Bronze. Anyway, But so that wasn't even on our topics tonight. That was just us taking a sideways turn where we were going, talking about, and James, you opened up the door for us. You know, what is steampunk? We're seeing, or at least a lot of people are claiming to see, a decline in steampunk popularity out there in pop culture. There was a post on the Dragon Con forum on Facebook 2 weeks ago asking, hey, I didn't see any steampunk cosplay at Dragon Con. Is this even still a thing? And there are people who would argue that it is no longer a thing. One of those is Nick Oddins, the publisher and editor of Never Was Magazine. Mm-hmm. And I sent you guys a link to his article. And he's basically been making the case over the last couple of months that steampunk has been in a serious decline, that it is on, you know, death's doorstep. And he's one of the founding fathers of steampunk. And he attributes it to the left, the political culture, the political correct culture, the woke slash cancel culture. And that basically what has happened in his assessment, and Eric Fisk has written about this as well, is that there have been, over the years in that community, there have been people who have come in who have said, we are the arbiters of what is or isn't steampunk and who can and cannot do it. And that totalitarianism, authoritarianism attitude has driven people away.
Yeah. We had that same kind of thing in the pirate culture.
Okay.
In fact, that same kind of thing in the pirate culture has destroyed multiple crews, because people go, okay, you can't be a pirate if you dress in this. You got to spend money for this. Now, steampunk is a recycle culture.
Yes.
And more and more...
That's an interesting way to put it. Okay.
I'll agree with him on that one.
More and more people are taking that recycle culture and selling it instead of creating it.
Okay.
Yeah, because you can go to Hobby Lobby, Michaels, and find cogs and gears and steampunk.
And it's labeled
this,
as steampunk. Yeah.
It's no longer, I went to such and such little flea market or whatever and found this stuff, took it apart, reworked it into this. It's now, I went to...
I went and bought a Nerf gun.
I went and bought a Nerf gun.
Or brass.
Brass, or no, not even that. I went and bought it like that.
Yeah, I bought it. Bought a Nerf gun already painted
copper. At the con, yeah.
Or I went...
And put cogs and gears all over it. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
But how
it has become watered down.
Yes.
Okay.
It's no longer a recycle culture. It's more... People realize that there was money to be made from it. And every time somebody realizes there's money to be made from something, they kill it. Because once the money starts to be made from it, it becomes corporatized. And once the corporatized starts, it becomes mainstream. Once it's mainstream, it's no longer something new.
Now, it's no longer punk.
I love steampunk. I was steampunk before dieselpunk. I still love it to this day. First time I kind of knew it was going downhill, I was watching the TV show Castle, and they did a whole episode about steampunk. And they walked into this building, and there's people on the giant big-wheeled bikes riding around, and there's red velvet everywhere, and everything's brass and bronze and copper and brown, and I knew right then and then it's mainstream. Everyone's going to be a part of it. It's going to go downhill. And us, I won't say original guys, but older members of it who've been around since before everything had gears on it. It's just going to...
Actually, Eric, I never did read your articles.
I think it just...
They did read Nick's article. Read Nick's.
I'm a bit of opinionated person occasionally.
Well, that's okay, because I am too. And what I love about you is you don't care what anybody else thinks about your opinion, which is awesome.
Which is obvious.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. I need you in my tribe. Because I read this quote today. If you spend your time tiptoeing around the people you associate with, you are in the wrong tribe.
I read that too.
Yeah, I love that. And, yep. And I did that for 10 years, and I'm out of that tribe. And now I don't care what you think anymore, and we're going in a totally different direction. But, so, Nick has observed a serious decline in the steampunk events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whereas there were several all over the country, all over the world, hundreds of them, now they're starting to disappear. And a lot of old, like, established cons, like Steampunk World's Fair, Ethertopia,
yeah.
And others. And do you think...
It's happening with the pirate stuff, too.
Well...
It is exactly the same way. Pirate had became too mainstream.
Because of...
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp, yeah.
And, I mean, I love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. They're a fun little jaunt.
Oh, yeah.
They're not my favorite pirate movie. They never will be.
You know what my favorite pirate movie is?
Mine's a Crimson Pirate.
You said that, but you know... You're going to kill me.
What?
You're going to hate me.
What is it?
Cutthroat Island.
Yeah. Gina yes. Davis.
Yeah. I love that movie.
You can't go wrong with Gina Davis.
I love that movie. No. That was another movie that...
I liked her better. Yeah, I liked her better in Long Kiss Goodnight.
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Do you watch Glow
no.
on Netflix? She's in the season 3.
Yeah, me and my wife watch Glow together.
She's 67.
She still looks good.
And looking phenomenal.
She was in Grey's Anatomy, wasn't it? She played a doctor, I think, in that. And she still looked good.
Did she? I didn't watch Grey's Anatomy. Anyway.
My wife got me into it. So,
anyway.
Side tangent.
Back to the topic at hand. So we're seeing this decline in steampunk events, but... I am going to maintain it's not just steampunk events. It is geek culture events in general.
Yes.
We've seen Wizard World vanish. Here recently, Walker Stalker and FanFest was supposed to be in Nashville last month, and they pulled out a week before the con.
Yeah.
And we've seen all of these big cons just vanish.
As soon as the big cons started making money, and realize they were making money. Once again, corporate greed is what kills them.
Heroes of Cosplay. I blame Heroes of Cosplay.
Okay.
It made the scene go huge with the cosplay community because here was a group of people
that were professional.
Too. Yeah, they had some, but they had professional cosplayers, and now everyone thought, well, I can make a costume. I'm going to be a professional cosplayer, too.
Well, and I'm going to get paid to go to the con.
And the cons got huge, and everyone came to them in their store-bought outfits, and then the scenesters left.
You had people in that scene who anointed themselves as the arbiters of what is or is not cosplay and how it should or should not be done.
And then you also had the prostitutes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know what a prostitute is?
Yeah, I do.
That's the little girls that their parents drop them off in their little schoolgirl outfits at the front door. They go in the bathroom and change into something they should not be wearing.
Yeah, you know, I can say this now because I'm not tiptoeing around anyone. We were talking before the show about MTAC, a convention here in Middle Tennessee. It's an anime convention. I hate going to it. I would never, ever let my 15-year-old daughter go because it is filled with prepubescent girls that are overly sexualized, and to me, it just seems like a good place to send your children to get raped.
Prostitutes and Lolitas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, and you know what? Maybe they need to be ruffled.
Well, like I told you, I took my 15-year-old son, who at the time was 10, 11, 12, and would go... to it, and it just, in the evening, the drinking started, and I had no problem drinking, but it was no place to have kids.
Yeah.
And he wanted to stay and have fun, because he made so many friends, but we couldn't, because it got out of hand sometimes.
Yeah.
And it just, the con started tanking. And
I was at a con one time, they had a bouncy house next to the house party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So, do you guys think that there's any credence to the assertion that woke cancel culture, PC culture, has contributed to...
PC kills everything, and it does over and over and over again. I hate that people cannot laugh at themselves anymore.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I term myself a dancing monkey. I have always termed myself a dancing monkey, no matter what I'm doing dressed up or even when I'm acting on film, because I'm a vessel. I'm something that a costume is put on. I'm not the director.
Okay.
I'm the dancing monkey.
Interesting. I've always classified myself as an entertainment whore, meaning I will do anything on stage to make a buck.
Well, you know what my favorite role is, don't you? The one that pays me.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Well, like, we dress up. We go to the Ren Fair. We dress up, and we go as a family. We have fun with it. I got a wagon we built that looks like a wooden wagon for all the kids in. Even the baby goes dressed up. The whole reason I got into cosplay, the escape from real life.
Yeah.
And to go to cons now and you hear people talking politics and religion and...
Look, I was kicked out of a cosplay group that I helped found because I didn't have the right political bent.
Yeah. And see, politics should not be brought into it.
I don't call politics, religion, sexuality. There's another one I don't talk.
Finances, religion, sexuality, politics.
Finances sometimes I chat about, but now politics, religion, and sexuality, I usually don't talk about at all. And tell you the truth, I don't even hardly talk about politics and religion with my own wife.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty closed on what my ideals are.
That's interesting. So the thing that I've observed is you don't even have to talk about it or have an opinion. In my case, I didn't espouse or echo their opinion. It didn't matter what my own opinion was. I didn't echo their opinion. And that's where I see the biggest problem in the geek culture community and in geek events, that if you don't say, it's not whether you say the wrong things, if you don't agree with the right things, you are persona non grata.
You know what you learn very quickly, being a performer, being an actor, being whatever? Facebook is not your friend.
No. And that's why I deleted
people,
my profile.
People have to realize that if they're a popular figure, that they really don't need to be espousing political rhetoric, because they are not the arbiter of everything.
Yeah.
I think the dogs agree.
Yeah, I specifically ask that the dogs not be let out.
Who let the dogs out? Woo, 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 woo.
See how happy I am? See how thrilled I am? Anyway, and now they're scratching at the door and barking because we have guests. Basically, my dog Jax, who is a terrier chihuahua mix, is just a total jerk. That's the best way to describe it. So anyway,
he's a fuzzy mouse?
He's bigger than a mouse, but he treats everyone like they are, I mean, just, he's a jerk to everybody. And, so anyway, they're taking him out now. So anyway,
that's good.
But that kind of brings us to the end. You guys have anything you want to add on or share in addition?
I think we shared pretty good.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are watching or listening on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or even watching on Facebook or later on YouTube, make sure you post comments. And you guys have been great tonight. Thank you so much for interacting with us. We really appreciate it. But share your thoughts about what we talked about, whether you agree, disagree. And listen, start to send us things to talk about.
I feel like I need to wear a hat next week.
Yeah, you know what?
See, I'll wear a hat and you guys won't.
We all have goatees.
There we go.
We all have the facial hair.
Mine's a little shorter than it used to be.
Yeah, it is. When I first met you, you were like
Yeah, well, my agent said to shave it off, shave some of it off, because I'm more marketable this way.
Yeah.
As I said, the role that pays me is the one I like best.
Yeah. So, we'd love to hear from you guys what you liked, what you didn't like, what you think we should talk about on our next episodes. We'll be doing this Monday nights, coming to you live on Facebook, and then the replay on YouTube and iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
So once again, Dark Soul out.
Corey out.
And before I leave, make sure you support us on Patreon, patreon.com/BigDaddyCoolShows. Drop a tip in our digital tip jar. $1, $2 a month is all we're looking for. And that goes a long, long way to helping us produce more great content, like decorating this corner of the studio. Wouldn't that be awesome? Until then,
well, you
guys.
You just kill somebody and make them bleed.
Yeah, we. You know, that's not.
That's a deco.
It's now going to be an HGTV show while we decorate.
Yeah. All right. With that, I'm going to say, if you like the show, tell 200, 300 of your closest friends and family to come join the fun. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.